Welcome to the Good Old Days of Radio Show. This is John Tufteller, your host. It is Tuesday, Comedy Day, and we have, as promised, one of my all-time favorite programs. I don't believe that this particular episode of this program has been heard since February 16th, 1945. It comes from a stash of 16-inch glass discs that were found in an apartment in Brooklyn a few years back. They had to belong to somebody that was either associated with CBS Radio or associated with this show. We don't know. All we know is there was a stack of them, and I grabbed them and got them somehow shipped to the West Coast, but they did have little cracks in the glass, and so you hear the occasional click when they're played. I'm sure that could be taken out with modern technology, but we have no time for that, so we'll let somebody else do that. The show is It Pays to Be Ignorant, the ultimate satire on quiz shows. It is also the ultimate destination for a bazillion what are now called dad jokes or vaudeville jokes or whatever. It's nonstop verbal diarrhea of humor. And some folks find it amusing and funny, like me, and some folks find it a little annoying, but I love it, so whenever I can feature a new episode of that, we shall do so, and this one is a new one. So all you people who listen to this show and say, I've heard everything, it's all out there, we can hear it all. Maybe not in good sound like on your show, but we can hear it all. Well, you didn't hear this one, so here's a new one for you. It Pays to Be Ignorant, February 16th, 1945.
How can you tell a Jersey cow?
By the license plates.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What is a skeleton?
A stripteaser who overdid it.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
It Pays to Be Ignorant. Presented by Philip Morris Cigarettes and Johnny. Johnny in his red coat and brass buttons, stepping out of store windows and counters all over the country to bring you that Don't You Ever Get Tired of It quiz program, It Pays to Be Ignorant.
Once again, we bring you that half hour of culture right off the cob. It pays to be ignorant. We have a board of experts who were thrown out of kindergarten for biting the other children. First, we have the celebrated author, Mr. High McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled How to Run a Restaurant Without Points or Forever Hamburg. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
I see.
It's hard to part with those we love when our hearts are full of hope. But it's harder still to find a towel when your eyes are full of soap. You like
okay.
that?
I like it very much.
Something I copied off a boxcar.
I see. Yes. Next, we have a woman who reminds you of Kipling's poem, A Rag, a Bone, a Tank of Air. A woman who may not be all wool, but she is a yard wide, Miss Lulu McConnell.
You know, Mr. Howard, I'm getting fed up on the remarks you make about me.
I see.
It hurts me down deep inside.
Hurts you?
Deep, deep, deep down inside.
Hey, keep on and you'll get down to where it really hurts.
Ah, shut up. I'm going to tell Mrs. O'Donnell on you.
All right. Next, we have a man who, since the day he was born, has always has his nose to the grindstone. It must have been a beaut when he started. You have heard of Whistler's mother. Here is Frankenstein's father, Mr. George Shelton.
Hey, Mr. Howard, you got to stop and sell him me, too.
Oh.
You know, I'll have you know I'm college bred.
You're college bred.
Yeah.
You don't even know what college bred is.
Who don't? College bred means a wad of dough with plenty of crust and a lot of crumbs gathered together for a big loaf.
I see. And, Well, there they are, folks. From now on, we promise you nothing. Here is the first question for this evening. Now, let's pay attention and see if we can get it.
Yes.
What part of the human body does an eye doctor take care of?
Mr. Howard, what's the doctor's name?
That's not important.
His name isn't important?
No.
Well, how do you know who to ask for? I mean, after all, he should have a name.
Certainly. Who ever heard of a doctor going around without a name?
All right.
He wouldn't have anything to put MD after.
All right. Play. His name is Immaterial.
Oh, what a funny name. Dr. Immaterial. What's his office hours?
Never mind his office hours. The question is, what part of the human body does an eye doctor take care of? Miss McConnell, when your eyes bother you, where do you go?
To the grocery store.
To the grocery store?
Uh-huh. I get some tea bags and put them on my eyes.
I see. Don't you ever take them off? Let's get on here, please.
You know, I went to the doctor last week to have my throat painted.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really? You had your throat painted?
Yep.
What color?
Mrs. Shelton.
Yeah.
What did you pay there? What did the doctor charge you for painting your throat?
$10.
Oh, Egyptian.
Yeah?
I had my whole kitchen painted for $5.
You were struck out.
Can we please get back to the question? It's about doctors.
I have a wonderful doctor.
All right.
Can I tell you about the time I had my operation, Mr. Howard?
No, we're not interested.
Well, the doctor said that it was a miracle that I ever pulled through.
All right.
He said if it wasn't for my rugged constitution...
Yeah.
...and my cheerful disposition, I would have died.
Uh-huh. Would that have been bad? Let's get on now, please.
I say, you know, Mr. Howard, I read in the paper where the doctor is going to perform an operation over the radio.
Well, an operation should go good over the ether.
Should go good over the ether. Very subtle message.
You know, I'll bet that he'll have the audience in stitches.
Please. Miss McNaughton, if this was a meatless day, I'd bite you. Now, let's get on here.
Did I tell you, Mr. Howard, my sister had a new baby yesterday?
Oh, really? Where's the baby now?
In the hospital.
My, is it sick already?
Is it sick?
When I was in the hospital for my operation, all the nurses and doctors, they just hated to see me go home.
I imagine. You were good for the business. You made the rest of the patients sick. I can see that. Let's get on here.
The nurses said that I was such a good patient.
All right.
Never complaining.
Look.
I'll never forget the day they took out my stitches.
Look.
It was on
Wait a minute. Will you cut it out? Will you shut your trap? We're not interested in your operation. Now, let's try and answer the question.
You know, I heard a good way to keep a cold in your head from dropping down into your chest.
Really? Yeah? How?
Tie a knot in your neck.
Tie a knot.
Yes. I must try that sometime.
When I was in the hospital...
Miss McConnell, please. You're talking yourself right into a broken nose.
Say, Miss McConnell, did the doctor charge you much for your operation?
No. No, he gave me cut rates.
Cut rates? Johnny, please, will you cut in here and get us out of this hospital?
Yes, sir, Mr. Howard, but I will just have to find the ex-place a carton of Philip Morris cigarettes, which I will give to the nurse in the fifth row.
Oh, the Thank you a lot. Now, here is our next question.
When I was in the hospital, my old man used to come and visit me. Oh, he'd bring me all kinds of candy and fruit. And then he would sit on the bed and eat it.
He'd eat the bed?
He wouldn't eat the bed. Will you cut it out?
Plain or with cream, I mean.
Miss McConnell, if you don't keep quiet, you'd better call up that hospital for another reservation. Now, let's get on with the question.
What was the question, Mr. Howard?
I haven't asked you the question.
Then how can we answer it if you don't ask?
That's right. We can't read your mind.
No.
You could if you like blank verse.
Thank you, Mr. McNaught.
Thank you so much, Mr. Howard.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now, here is the question.
Carry on.
Now, here's the question. See if you can get it.
Yes.
It's a very timely question. What president chopped down the cherry tree and for whom they named the capital of the United States?
Was he a Democrat or a Republican?
What's a Republican?
That's a man who won't take no for an answer.
Hey, What president chopped down the cherry tree and for whom they named the capital of the United States?
That's the same question you asked before.
But wait a minute. I haven't got an answer yet.
Well, ring again. Maybe the line was busy.
The line.
Yeah, I know when I called up the hospital about my operation.
Oh,
the line
please.
Was busy. The doctor told me that my operation was...
Look, will you cut it out? Cut it out.
The doctor already did.
Please.
And here I am in the flesh.
In the flesh. Well, you better go back and get a better fitting. Now, let's get on. Let's get back to the question. The president I'm talking about has a birthday next Thursday.
Has a birthday next... Who do I know has a birthday next Thursday?
Did you say next Thursday's his birthday?
That's right.
Is he going to give a party? Are we invited?
Never mind, please. Are you invited? This president has been dead for years.
Then how can he give a party?
He's not going to give a party. I'll give you another cue. He chopped down a cherry tree.
Why?
Why? I don't know. Must have been on account of the coal shortage. I don't know. His father bought him a hatchet.
For his birthday?
Look, I don't know if it was his birthday or not.
But you said next Thursday was his birthday.
I know I did.
And now you say you don't know if it's his birthday or not.
Mr. Howard, you're getting very, very difficult.
Yeah. The doctor said that same thing about me when I had my operation.
Please.
My operation was the most difficult operation.
Miss McConnell, if this man was living today, I'd get him to chop you down. Now, let's get on here. You mean none of you know the story about the man who chopped down the cherry tree? He never told a lie.
He never told a lie?
No.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's
it's a
fine
very nice thing.
From now on, I'm never going to tell a lie.
I see.
Even if it hurts.
Uh-huh.
How old are you, Miss McConnell?
That hurts.
Wait, you mean the man you're talking about never told a lie?
That's right.
That must have been before income tax.
Yeah, no, yeah. This man went to war for liberty.
He went to war for liberty? My word, what would he have done for the Saturday Evening Post?
Johnny, that's all. It's your turn now, Johnny.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Howard, but I'll just have to find the ex-vice a carton of Philip Morris cigarettes, which I will give to this soldier in the third row.
And now, here's a man who, when he tells you about a cigarette, never tells a lie. Mr. Ken Roberts.
There's a lot of wisdom in some of the old sayings most of us have known from childhood. Right now, I'm thinking of one that sums up the vital superiority of Philip Morris cigarettes. And that is, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So, isn't it sensible to change your cigarette before you pay the smoking penalties? We have never claimed for Philip Morris any curative power. But in Philip Morris, you do get that ounce of prevention, far less irritation to the smoker's nose and throat, scientifically proved. Now, you're entitled to know the source of that proof. First, laboratory research has proved Philip Morris far less irritating than four other leading cigarettes. But that's not all. The findings of a group of distinguished doctors show that when smokers change to Philip Morris, substantially every case of irritation of the nose or throat due to smoking cleared up completely or definitely improved. Full reports of these findings have appeared in authoritative medical journals for the information of doctors. On this high and impartial authority, we say to you, Philip Morris are proved far less irritating, therefore safer for the nose and throat. Philip Morris superiority is recognized by eminent medical authorities. No other cigarette can make that statement. Remember, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Thank you, Ken Roberts. And now while we are getting our contestants ready, we will hear from our orchestra, Dr. Novick and his orchestra. There they go. This is a good time to leave the theater, ladies and gentlemen. up any instrument they get their hand on and just blow in it. The whole bunch should be at the bottom of the Blue Danube. What they get for buying their instruments in pawn shops. Oh, the grand finale, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Novick and his orchestra can be hired now for New Year's Eve celebrations. Who is our first contestant, Mr. Roberts?
Our first contestant tonight, Mr. Howard, is Corporal James O'Connor of the United States Army.
Well, let's talk. How do you do, Mr. O'Connor? It's a pleasure to have you with us. Where's your hometown, Mr. O'Connor? Would you care to tell us?
Dover, New Jersey.
Oh, Dover, New Jersey. Well, well.
Dover, New Jersey. Well, put spots on my forehead and call me measles.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I used to work in that town.
Ah, will you please stop it?
No, no, I was a banker in a baker shop.
You were a banker in a baker shop?
I used to handle all the dough.
You used to handle it.
That's nice.
Don't let them upset you, Mr. O'Connor. How long have you been in the service?
About 2.5 years.
2.5 years. Congratulations, my boy. That is really wonderful. You say you're from Dover, New Jersey.
Yes,
that's up on the road to Lake Opatcon, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yes, marvelous. I've been up there many times. I used to pass through Dover. I used to go up to see Joe Cook up there. Did you know Joe?
Yes, sir, I did. He's a very fine man.
Oh, you know him. Isn't that fine? Yes, he is a great man and a great comedian. Really is too bad he retired. We lost a great entertainer when we lost Joe. Well, we're glad to have you with us, and may I ask you, are you having a good time in New York?
Yes, sir, I am.
Uh-huh. What did you do before you entered the service?
I went to Columbia University.
Oh, a student, eh? Yes. A student, good.
I say, you know, Corporal O'Connor, I was in the last war, you know. Mm. Yes. I was shot in the chest and in the back at the same time.
I see. Wait a minute. How could you be shot in the chest and in the back at the same time?
Well, you see, when I heard the shot, I turned around.
You turned around. Pay no attention to them, Jim. We're sure happy to have you with us here tonight.
Yeah, we sure are. What's your first name, honey?
Jim.
Jim?
That's right.
Jimmy O'Connor, eh?
Yeah, that's right.
Gee, is that a cute name?
Yes, it is.
Boy, is he a cute kid. Whoa. Well, Jimmy, you can just call me old Sullivan. I'm a good heel.
Yeah. And you're all run down, too. Jim, will you reach into the dunce cap there and pick out a question for us, please? And would you read the question, please? Just read it right into the microphone.
What city is a Hotel New Yorker named after?
That's a very good question. No help from the audience, please. What city is the Hotel New Yorker named after?
Mr. Howard, what are the rates?
What are the rates? That is not the question.
Have they got any vacancies?
Oh, will you cut it out? The only vacancy around here is your head.
Yeah? If I'd known that, I could have had it rented long ago.
All right, you'd have to get rid of the termites first. Now, let's get back to the question. The question is about hotels.
You know, I was over to Jersey last week. I stopped at a nice hotel in Red Bank.
You did?
Oh, really? What was the name of it, Mr. Shelton?
It was the Molly Pitcher. Oh, and I had a nice room, too.
You had a nice room with Molly Pitcher?
Yeah. No.
Wait a minute, please.
No, I had a nice room. And you know a funny thing? I sent my suit out to be pressed. And when I got it back, there was a note on it from the manager.
A note on your suit?
Yeah.
Well, what did it say?
It said, don't wear this thing in the lobby.
Right. It's a very nice hotel. I can see their point there very well. Now, look, the city the Hotel New Yorker's named after, that's what I'm trying to find out.
Is it a large city, Mr. Howard?
What difference does that make? Is it a large city?
I stopped at a hotel once. They had an 18-hole golf course.
That's nothing. I stopped at a hotel once, had an 18-hole bedsheet.
A bedsheet.
Well, when I was in the hospital with my operation...
Oh, please.
I had a lovely room. I had a private telephone.
A private telephone?
Yeah, any private could use it.
Any private.
Hey, Corpus 2, where is it?
All right, never mind. Look, let me make it simple. There's a hotel right here in this town called the New Yorker. Now, what city is it named after?
When I was in the hospital, you know, every day they used to bring me beautiful flowers.
Flowers?
Oh, they brought me. I had lovely roses and carnations. Peonies?
What's a peony?
That's a small horse.
Oh, you had a horse in your room?
No, that's silly.
What's silly about it? I had a room in a hotel, had a horse in the bathtub.
A horse in the bathtub?
Yeah.
What did you do?
I pulled the plug out.
That's the worst yet. Johnny, step in here and give our good friend $25 for his question.
Yes, sir, Mr. Howard, and I will also give him a carton of Philip Morris cigarettes.
And now, before we have our next contestants, another word or two from our good friend, Ken Roberts.
Nowadays, even though we're making as many Philip Morrises as humanly possible, we know that you're not always able to get your package of Philip Morris cigarettes immediately. And we also know why. If we provided more of them for you, it would mean providing fewer Philip Morris for the men and women of our fighting forces. None of us wants that. So please, keep this in mind. If your dealer happens to be out of Philip Morris today, try him again tomorrow. Keep on asking. Be as loyal to Philip Morris as Philip Morris is to our boys and girls overseas. Remember, when you hear Johnny's call for Philip Morris, America's fighting forces overseas have first call on Philip Morris, America's finest popular price cigarette.
Thank you, Ken. And now who is our next contestant?
Our next contestant, Mr. Howard, is a very lovely and charming young lady. She is leading Wren, Joan Surrette, of the Royal Canadian Naval Service.
Oh, that's right. Good evening, Miss Surrette, and welcome to A Pace to Bigger. How do you feel, Miss Surrette?
Just fine, thank you.
Well, that's good. We're really glad to have you here with us. Where is your hometown? Would you care to tell us?
I'm from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Winnipeg, Manitoba. My. You're right up in the heart of the Dominion there. Cold up there, I imagine, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty cold.
I imagine it is. Well, we're really glad to have you with us here.
But did you ever have an operation?
Will you cut it out, please? Well, you mind your own business, you sponge head. Never mind. Let's get on. Don't pay any attention to him. We're going to throw her a fish any minute now. How long have you been in the service, Miss Surrette?
50 years.
Not true. I'm not talking to you.
Mr. Howard, merely an observation. But Miss Surrette is a very lovely young lady.
Yeah, I imagine, certainly. You can tell that to look at her.
She's the kind of a girl I'd like to take to meet Mother, you know.
Yeah?
If I could trust my father.
If you could. Will you please stop interrupting here?
Say, you know what I got for my girl last Wednesday? I got one of those street valentines.
Well, let's get... Street Valentine?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, you mean Saint Valentine.
I said Street Valentine. S-T, doesn't that mean street?
No. S-T means saint.
Mr. Shelton, where does your girl live?
Up on 76 Saint.
Up on 76... What an ass name. 76 Saint. That's street, Mr. Shelton. 76th Street.
Didn't you say S-T meant saint?
Yes. But what is the location S.T. means street?
Well, make up your mind, will you?
I say, did your girl always live up on 76th Street?
No, she used to live in Street Lewis.
Street? Ah, please. I I'm really sorry to keep you standing there, miss. Would you reach into the dunce cap now and pick out a question for us, please, if you will? And when you get it, just read it into the microphone, please.
Why do we pay an income tax?
Why do we pay an income tax? Now, there's a good question.
Now, there's a good question.
Exactly.
I repeat, there is a good question.
Yes.
Yes. And what was the question, Mr. Hart?
The question is, why do we pay an income tax?
Well, say, Mr. Hart, why spoil a perfectly nice evening?
Mr. McNaughton, please. You should pay your income tax with a smile.
I tried to, but the government wants cash.
The government...
income tax this year.
Oh, you're not going to pay any income tax?
No. My old man and I, we talked it all over, and we thought that with the prices, you know, the prices of things and everything like that today, we just can't afford it.
Oh, I see.
Well, she's going to like Alcatraz.
Yeah, she is.
She'll have a beautiful view over San Francisco Bay and everything else right from the window.
Yeah, the seagulls will sit on her cell window. Let's get on here. The question is, why do we pay an income tax?
Say, you know, I got a letter from the government the other day. Oh, a big, bulky thing.
Now we're back to Miss McConnell again.
We're not that. The question here is about income tax. Income tax. Now let's get on here with the question.
My brother-in-law just made out his income tax.
Yeah.
He owes the government $5,000.
$5,000? How did he figure that much?
He cheated.
Oh.
What do you mean he cheated?
He copied off the fellow in front of him.
Oh, I see.
But I don't understand the whole thing, you know. Exceptions, inductions, and deductions, surtax, normal tax, excess profit. You know what's got me nuts?
I see. You always were nuts, so don't blame it on the government.
You know, I figured it out 4 times. The only thing that comes out right is my name and address.
Well, you know, Mr. Shelton, it isn't very hard, you know. I didn't have any trouble. Yeah. I mean, if you're a married man, you're allowed $1,000 exemption, see?
Yeah.
If you're a single man, you're allowed $500.
Well, I'm a single man. Where's my $500?
Wait a minute. You don't get the $500.
Well, who gets it?
Look, the government allows you $500.
All right, where is it? I want it.
Look.
If I got $500 come to me, I want it.
All right,
I'll sue, that's what I'll do. I'll sue the government.
Will you cut it out?
No, Mr. Shelton, no, you misunderstand. They just allow you that, old boy. Now, you take Miss McConnell's husband, you see. Yep. They allow him $1,000.
Why do they allow him $1,000? He's no better than I am.
Look, will you cut it out? They allow him $1,000 because he's married. They allow him an extra $500 for Miss McConnell.
Without seeing her?
Without seeing her. They don't have to see her. They don't have to see her. If they saw her, he wouldn't get a nickel for her. Let's get on here.
Is that so? Well, I gotta live, ain't I?
A more debatable question I've never heard.
All I want to know is where's my $500?
Let's forget it. And besides, you're allowed donations for charity, too.
Oh, you know, I gave something to charity only last week. A man came around collecting for the old lady's home.
What'd you give him?
Grandma.
What's this got to do with my $500? I want my $500.
Look, will you forget about your $500?
Oh, forget it. Just like that, I sweat and slave for $500, and what happens? I don't get it.
No.
Suppose someone owed you $500.
But nobody owes me $500. Look, what are your deductions?
What do you mean, deductions?
What do you take off every year?
My winter underwear.
Johnny, please, will you step in here and pay our young guest $25 for being nice enough to come up and help us out?
Yes, Mr. Howard. I will also give her a carton of Philip Morris cigarettes.
Good. Thank you a lot. That was very nice. And now I see our good friend, Mr. Polese, telling me it's time to quit. So here's a young man to tell you just what we mean when we say...
It pays to be ignorant, to be dense, to be dumb, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me. When I was just a school kid, I wasn't awfully bright. But I had a pretty teacher who made me stay in each night. So you see, it pays to be ignorant.
Johnny presents a Philip Morris program three times weekly. Tuesday, Jenny Sims. Friday, It Pays to Be Ignorant. Sunday, Crime Doctor. For time and station, consult your local paper. All prize money distributed by this program is duplicated by Philip Morris in gifts to the Army and Navy Relief Societies. Is there a pipe smoker in the house? Well, listen and learn about the wonderful pleasure you get from Revelation Pipe Mixture. It's a true blend of five great tobaccos cut five different ways to get from each tobacco its richest taste and flavor. And yet, a pocket pack of Revelation is only 15 cents. So for cooler, sweeter smoking, just try Revelation.
This is Johnny again, returning now to the thousands of store windows and counters all over America. Look for me. I'll be waiting for you. Come in and call for Philip Morris.
Goodbye, Johnny. We'll be hearing you over these same stations next Friday at this same time. This is Ken Roberts.
This is Tom Howard saying good night and good nonsense.
I want my 5,000 bucks.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Yeah, I want my 5,000 bucks too. I didn't know the IRS was giving out $5,000. That's news to me. February 16th, 1945, It Pays to Be Ignorant, a brand new one. Not exactly brand new, but not circulating around and available all over the internet until now. Now it's all over the internet. Great. Okay. Anyway, back on Thursday with more odd and unusual shows, and back next Tuesday with another great comedy show. So we will see you all next week.